Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Another interesting day in the neighborhood.
I'll say.
Again, I will... I know we could sit here and do an explosive show, obviously. But at the same time, I'm also in a, what you would say, an interesting spot. How about that?
I think
and
that's
thus,
fair.
I will let it play out, and we can all watch it play out. If you want to comment, I will not in any way discourage you from any comments you make whatsoever. But for me, for the moment, I will think it's important for me for the moment to stay out of the fray. That doesn't mean you as a fan can't express opinions. This is your show, too. But... I think we'll allow these things to speak for themselves.
Okay.
Certainly it'll make for an interesting on the mark. How about that?
To say the least. I don't know. What came out today, I'd like to go ahead and explain it, if that's okay. I mean, you and I have not chatted about what we're going to do about this yet officially, but what came out today was documents that show that NCAA officials were in contact with investigators responsible for the free report that was commissioned by Penn State. To me, that sounds really unusual that there was, quote, a significant amount of communication between Free and the NCAA that was going on here. I find it interesting that the NCAA did not pay for this. They did not ask for this report, but yet they were involved in a discussion about the report before it became official. That's the part that I find very strange. That's my personal comment, by the way, the part that I thought was very strange. But that's what happened today. That's the information that came out today, that NCAA officials were in constant contact with investigators.
Another step forward. All right. In terms of another day checked off, and you all will get a chance to. I think Don Vanetta of ESPN.com is the one that broke the story. Don has been deeply immersed in the details of this all the way through. And again, we'll watch it play out, see where it takes us, and then maybe at some other point we'll make some comments on it. Me, I'm talking about me.
Right.
The rest of you can talk about all you want, but me, I think my job is to do football and basketball at the moment. How about that? It's also been a good day for Penn State on the basketball front because they signed three players on this, the first day of the early signing period. And not only that, but 24/7 Sports says this is the 28th rated class in the country. They signed Josh Reeves, a 6'4 guard out of Fairfax, Virginia, ranked number 71 by the ESPN Top 100. Four-star recruit out of Oak Hill, athletic, speed, D decent shooter, stat sheet stuffer, and a guy that gets out of transition and attacks the rim. Mike Watkins, the All-State 6'8 power forward out of Philadelphia, ranked 89th by ESPN's top 100. Four-star recruit. Sixth player from the Philadelphia area brought in by Patrick Chambers in the last three-plus years. They feel he's an elite athlete, rim protector, excels at running the floor in transition, really good finisher. Davis Zemgulis out of Lithuania, 6'6", wing. Excellent three-point shooter, very good range, and also likes to mix it up inside. And has a very high basketball IQ that will help them. So those are the recruits. A top 30 class for Penn State in men's basketball recruiting. Something I've never seen them do. So, yeah. So what do we have on the show today?
Did you hear our good friend Jimbo Fisher is not happy that he dropped down in the pointless polls?
It's irrelevant.
That's exactly right. The pointless polls.
It's so irrelevant. Well, no. Okay. What he's talking about is the relevant poll. It doesn't matter. You know where you're ranked in the AP doesn't matter. But in this thing, here's the relevance. You must be in the top four.
Yeah, but they still are. I mean, if they would have dropped to five, I would have said, okay, now you can be a little bit upset. But who cares? You're still in the top four. You're still going.
Here's what happened by going jerseys.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They have to be the road jerseys instead of a home jersey.
Jimbo, whine all you want. We're not stupid. You went from wearing garnet jerseys to white jerseys. Okay, go coach your team.
It's not like you were going to have a game on the campus of Florida State University if you went in the one or two slot and you have to be on the road. No, it's just a jersey color.
You're going to be on a neutral field, and now you're not wearing home jerseys. Okay.
You've got enough other stuff to worry about at Florida State, Jimbo. Focus on that.
He has some stuff to worry about.
Also today on the show, John Unitas Jr. will be joining us in the next hour, talking about a book that he wrote about himself and his dad.
That should be neat. John Unitas and so many of the Colts not only played for Baltimore, they lived in the Baltimore area. We're going to talk about the San Diego Chargers experience? No.
You can ask whatever you'd like.
You hate the fact he played for San Diego, don't you?
It doesn't really bother me, to be honest with you.
Hold on. You've always been about career purity.
Well, I would have liked to have seen, you know, the guy retire with the team he spent the most time with. Sure.
Sure. To me, you're about team purity. You should never leave the team.
I'm not exactly sure that's what I meant by that. I said I won't. If you choose to leave, that's a different story.
It's okay for Troy Polamalu to go to the Browns?
Is it his choice or is it the team's choice?
Well, it's probably be the team's choice. Well, take care.
Yeah, I'd like to see him work something out before that happens. But if he makes the choice, then that's fine.
Work something out. Work what out?
I don't know. There's guys that get paid lots more than I do to make those decisions.
I mean, aren't you happy Ryan Howard's been a Philly his entire life?
Well, if you would have asked me that 2 years ago, I probably would have. I probably would have agreed with you. Now, not so sure. He ain't going to the Hall of Fame, I'll tell you that.
Oh, he might.
Yeah, if he goes somewhere else and all of a sudden realizes that, I do have to still play baseball to get paid? Oh.
Yeah. There are tickets available at the hall.
You can, all you need is a couple of bucks and you can get into the hall.
I mean, you've always believed that a player should stay with one team forever.
That it depends on the player. Depends on the player.
You should never. Okay, what? Guys you don't like, you don't care?
Exactly. It took you 3 years to figure me out?
Oh, I think that you've been on the air here on WKOK for 19 years. I can tell you right now, nobody in the Valley has you figured out.
21, as a matter of fact. Thank you.
21 years.
21 years in August. Well, this past August, I should say.
I feel bad there wasn't a party.
That's all right.
You know, Bob and I are going to have a dinner after the Bucknell game. You want to show up for that?
I might.
Watch a moth fly out of your wallet. That'll be fun.
No. Wait, wait. Why would I open my wallet if you just invited me? I have you on record right now inviting me. I don't have to pay if you get an invitation. That's the way that works.
I can tell you that. We're not paying for it. I can tell you that in no uncertain terms. You know, we're trying to promote show unity. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I could text Bob right now. And I could feel the hurt coming through every word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's... I'm just telling you.
Looks like the Giants and your Red Sox might be the finalists to sign Pablo Sandoval.
Well, Sandoval's an interesting guy because things go in cycles. It used to be, for example, shortstop was a light hitting area, no power. And then we had that run of shortstops that could hit. Ripken, Rodriguez, Jeter, Nomar Garciaparra, so forth. I mean big guys playing shortstop and could hit with power. We're in a trend right now where third basemen are very good offensive third basemen are currently at a premium in Major League Baseball. That's why Sandoval, the timing could not be any better than him. I mean, it couldn't be any better. So that's why, and not only that, but you can tell Pablo knows that there is a much, much better postseason spread in the clubhouse because he plays that way.
Haven't heard much, though, with the Phillies and with the Pirates so far this offseason.
And you expected what?
Nothing, but I was kind of hoping for something.
The Pirates hadn't made an offseason move since when?
The 70s?
Man, I think Danny Murtaugh was the manager.
Marlon Byrd was the only name I heard come up for the Phillies.
To do what?
To go to the Reds, Cardinals, or Tigers.
Well, the winter meetings are coming up in early December. That's where... In fact, I think the Phillies could deal two more veterans for maybe 8 or 9 other prospects that will go to some sort of halfway house in the minors.
Anybody interested in a overpriced first baseman?
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 1115, Hummel's Wharf. Mentioned Penn State basketball. As been able to sign the, what 24/7 Sports is, the number 28 recruiting class in the country. So, obviously, it's been a long road for Pat Chambers to reshape the program. But he has been able to do it. I mean, he's, obviously this will be a big year. You got to get yourself back. You got to get yourself over 500. Feel like you've made that step in that right direction. Do something in postseason. And so that's where this year is going to be important. Long term, to recruit a class like this, very impressive. Very impressive. So, I have John Unitas Jr. on today about the book he wrote, What Johnny, You and Me, which is just come out. I believe it's from Triumph Books, I believe. And
good question. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that one up. I'm not sure about that.
I believe it's from Triumph Books. About his dad, obviously.
Yes, it's Triumph
Family.
Books.
Yep. And John Unitas is a great story. Pittsburgh kid. With the Steelers briefly. They got rid of him. Goes to the Colts, and I think it's widely believed that among quarterbacks of that time, John Unitas and Bart Starr would have been the two whose feel for the game was different than everyone else's. They called their own plays back then. And so, we will talk to him about the book, what went into it, and so forth in just a few minutes. Later in the week, Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football, is going to join us. Dave Revson from BTN is going to join us
Robert.
This week as well. Yes. Yes, Rever. So, looking forward to that. A couple more guests coming on.
By the way, saw some bowl predictions. I know how much you love those.
God.
You will be happy to know that the majority
can we wait till somebody gets there first?
Well, the majority of the only reason I bring it up is because the majority of them, all but two, agree with what you had said a couple of weeks ago, what I had talked about.
Okay. Like to see them at six wins first, then I will talk all you want about it.
All right, fine. Fine. We'll wait till next week.
All right, this isn't your average talk show. I know you want the show to be average. And,
fine. We'll wait till next week.
You know, See how it plays out this week, then go from there. There's been so many unpredictable things about this. And I get it a week-by-week thing. But I have told everybody from the beginning, I think I've been pretty definitive about, look, if certain things happen where I think they're going to go, okay?
And many of the places agreed with you.
Well.
Now, they did not agree with my prediction on who Penn State would play. Now, I said that I thought it would be the Pinstripe Bowl, and you had said that, and you felt that that made sense. I also said that I felt it would be Pittsburgh or Boston College, but haven't heard, neither one of those teams have been mentioned.
I think I'll lock in on Temple this week, which I already have.
I don't expect you to talk about that. I mean, that's fine.
It's November 12th. Now, should they get to a certain threshold? Yeah, I'll talk about it.
Okay, fine. Can you tell me date of the... Is it December 27th?
It's a Saturday, yes.
All right.
Yeah. I frustrate you. No comment.
No.
Okay, so here's what the Penn State defense has done this year. UCF has averaged 34.6 points a game, 442 yards per game. Against Penn State, they scored 24 points and had 246 yards. It's 196 yards fewer and 10.5 points fewer. Akron, averaging 41 points a game, 513 yards a game. Against Penn State, they scored 3 points and had 277 yards. 38 points off their average, 236 yards off their yardage average. Rutgers, averaging 39.5 points a game, 447 yards a game. Rutgers scored 10 at 294 yards. That's -29.5 and -153. UMass, 25.3 points a game, 307 yards, held to 7 and 266. That's -18.3 points and -41 yards. Northwestern, the defense actually gave up 21 points in the game. Northwestern's averaging 27 points. 344 yards, gave up 29. That's +8 and +17. Not good. Michigan, 22.3 points, 354 yards. They gave up 18 and 256. -4.3 points, -98 yards. Ohio State, 46.5 points a game, 534 yards. Gave up 31, 293. -15.5 points, including two overtimes, and -241 yards. Maryland, 31.6 points a game, 374 yards a game. They've given up 20 and 194 in the game, -11.6 and -180 yards. Indiana, 27.6 points a game, 423 yards per game. They gave up 7 points, 221 yards, -20.6 points, and -206 yards. Altogether, the scoring averages of Penn State teams this year, 36.2. Opponents have averaged 36.2 points a game this year and 467 yards. Penn State has given up 16.6 points a game, 301 yards per game, and it ends up being a -17.6 points per game. That's how good they've been. That is quite a number. They've held 7 of 9 opponents to 10 or more points fewer per game than their average. Amazing. And they've held six of their nine opponents to 150 yards under their season average per game. Now, that's defense. And not only that, they've had a situation where they have had their backs to the wall and have had to go out onto the field in tough spots. And have done a great job of, for the most part, taking care of business. Even when their back has been to the wall. That's some defense. Big, big part of this is the ability of them to go out and just attack. They've done a great job of attacking. They've put a lot of teams on their heels. They'll have to keep doing it, no question. They'll have to keep doing it. So, it's amazing numbers. Amazing numbers. 800-795-9565 is our number. Might have that opportunity here to talk to John here in a few moments, I do believe. And we go to Bob in Watsontown. Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing, Steve?
Doing great, Bob.
Hey, I called in. You had said back in the Ohio State game, you said there was a couple questions that you were gonna that you had asked the head officials or the head of the officials,
right.
And he was gonna get back to you on some of the calls that were made in the Ohio State game. Did he ever get back to you?
Yes, he did. As a matter of fact, he called me back, played a little phone tag for about 3-4 hours, but then we finally hooked up and talked.
I didn't hear it on your show. I watch your show or listen to your show quite a bit, and I was wondering how he explained on the penalty on the overtime, and I don't know what the other question you were going to ask.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Okay, I asked him a series of questions, and these were questions that look. I said to Bill Carollo's his name. I said, Bill, I'm not questioning you. I'm just asking questions. And I think that he understood exactly where I was coming from. The interception, we all know that's the bad call, and we know about the delay of game. And it turns out the delay of game is one of the things that he's hoping will be for consideration on, because he's on the replay committee. So just as an add-on for that. I had said to him, I've told people that you cannot use replay for a penalty. And he said, Steve, you're mostly true, but not completely. I said, what do you mean? He said, we can use it, for example, to see if somebody went over the line of scrimmage on a pass play. Like, oh, okay, that would be a penalty. As for the leaping, the way he explained it to me and what Mike Hall did matches up. It actually is the correct call. You don't usually call it. Mike's not usually in on that team to begin with. But Mike did use somebody to go up over somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason the penalty is enforced is not because you're gaining a competitive advantage, which is usually what most penalties are. That's a safety issue. It's a safety issue for the player that's launching themselves in the air as to how they come down. It's a safety issue for launching himself off of somebody else. It's also a safety issue for maybe hitting or landing on somebody of the opposing team. That's why the penalty is in place. And I saw the replay, and I can see why they called it.
Right. Well, I think the NFL has the same call, right? They have the same penalty.
They do.
You're not allowed to
they
use
do.
Another player to gain access, higher, you know.
Right, and then I did ask him about the Michigan onside kick, and I said, Bill, is it the feet? I said, or is, in this case, it was the 20-yard line, it was a free kick. If it's the 20 or the 35, I said, is that considered to be that line, the neutral zone, like you have the neutral zone on the snap when it's a scrimmage play? He said, exactly. That's why when you see James's helmet over, was it a legitimate call? Yes. But part of that is also angle. And when you look at the camera angle of the play, and he talked about this. He was very free about talking to me about the various things he looks at when he's grading officials. The camera angle, if you look at it one way, it's really close. But obviously, if you look at it to the right of the official, because of the angle, it looks like he's way over. And it's there's he said there's somewhere in the middle, and that's a tough call. He said, but they're also far more conscientious of looking at that particular play when everyone in the building knows it's an onside kick, because at that point, everybody's trying to find a spot to gain an advantage.
Right. So in other words, the line of scrimmage continues right up the line, right up to the ceiling, more or less, and nothing, you can't even cross your helmet, even though your feet may be 2 yards behind.
They consider that where the ball is teed up as the same concept as the ball being snapped by the center. Because, for example, you can jump into the zone, but your feet never cross, but your helmet's across.
And that's a penalty.
And that's a penalty, and that's why on that particular play, that's what they're looking for. Whether or not he did cross, we can debate that. But in terms of that line being the neutral zone that extends to infinity, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right. Well, another question I have, that officiating crew, and I did hear one of your other callers last say that they were the same crew that officiated the Nebraska game where I don't know if it was James was had the ball and broke the plane, and they said he didn't at the replay. But does he take a group of officials, and has there been problem? He probably won't say this, but has that group of officials, other games they officiated, had problems or maybe questionable calls?
Well, everybody's going to get questionable calls. You and I both know that. If they ever do anything with officials, Bob, it's going to be quietly. They're not going to announce that said officiating group is suspended or whatever. You have to really look at box scores and say, gee, why didn't that group work this weekend? And that may give you your answer as to whether they were or they weren't. I've talked to Bill before away from this, Bill Carollo. And when I've talked to him before, he is a very severe grader on officials. And the reason being is that the integrity of the game means everything to Bill. And that's right. Why he grades the way he did.
Well, the interception, what was his explanation on that as far as, I mean, I heard you say on TV that possibly they didn't get the right feed. But I've never heard that before. I mean, I understand it can happen, I'm sure. But when the whole stadium and people on TV see it, I can't believe that feed wasn't out there, and how, for what reason, right, didn't they get the feed that everybody else got the feed? Because I think they do. Yeah. I really, even in the pros compared to college, I think the camera angles and the camera crew do an amazing job of yes, capturing the plays, and especially the fumbles and what have you. And that just shocked me that an official can see it. I don't know how they missed that. I really don't. Even the official on the field missed it. How did he explain that to you?
Right. Well, first of all, it's up to that official, for example, to call it right to begin with. Let's start with that.
Right.
Now, this is your backup system. This is what happened to your backup system. What we get in the booth is that we have a monitor that's hooked up to the cable. So, in other words, we sit there and we scroll through channels to find out what channel the game's on. That's our replay in the booth, Bob. Mm-hmm. What they have in the replay booth is a totally separate feed that comes up from the truck to a series of monitors that they have in there. And what they don't have, ironically, is the actual television broadcast that we have in our booth. I think it should be standard that they have that broadcast in the booth as a backup.
Right.
They don't have that.
Not to interrupt you, but I thought the official came out and ruled it very quick. I mean, I thought it was pretty fast. on how he said the call was stand, you know. I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah.
That was as clear as day. I mean, even on the field, I think where the official was supposed to be, you know, behind the linebackers there. And I know they do miss things, so a lot of things happen. But it's a shame because they played their hearts out. And I kind of, when you, I heard your segment on their defense, and my question is, for as lousy as their offense is, I wish they would take their front four on defense and flop them over to offense and put their offense over on defense. What do you think?
Interesting theory, Bob.
I mean, they're playing that well. I'm like, like you said, it's all about the front line. I'm really surprised, as poor as what Christian played last week, that they didn't put the backup, what's his name, Herschel, the quarterback in.
Look, he's the best shot they have at winning. Even if he's having a mediocre day, he's the best shot they have.
I think this young man behind Christian Hackenberg has some talent that possibly, I mean, I'm looking at to let the young man sit and take some pressure off him, because he's had pressure ever since he showed up at Penn State to perform, and I think it's getting to him. I really do, and I think if he would get sat down and told by the coach to say, hey, look, we're not really benching you, but we think you need some time to watch the offense from the sideline and let somebody else in there, I think it would do the team a world of good. I really do.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree with that. He is the absolute. I've watched everybody quarterback in practice. He's the best shot they've got. Take my word.
I just see that he just. I don't think he wants to throw the ball in tight spaces, and he's taking sacks where he should be scrambling. I don't know. It's just. I know the young man's only 19, but don't you think that's why the pros usually take their first rounder and sit him the first year, you know, to let him know the offense?
He's the most experienced guy they have.
Teams last week. He's the only person that scored points.
Well, you know what, though? You look at the two interceptions he threw last week. Belton should have caught the one ball. I mean,
right.
Belton fouled that one up. The other one, that Murphy just makes a play. All that is a simple screen out, all right, to the flanker, and Murphy just jumped it. So, I mean, sometimes the other guy makes a really good play. Murphy just made a really good play on that ball. Now, you got to remember, with the pressure they're putting on him, it's changing his progressions. People say, hey, first, second, third, fourth, fifth progression. Well, if they're putting pressure on you, you may not get to pass your second. You may not get past your first. And what happens is when you go deeper into progressions, they have a better opportunity to get open because they've had more time to get open, as opposed to trying to thread the ball into a tight window because they're not open yet in the progression because of the pressure you're facing. So there's a domino effect to that.
Yeah. But sometimes you got to throw the ball up there and hope a receiver can battle for it. I mean,
The Allen Robinson theory. The Allen Robinson theory, which is true.
And
Allen Robinson did that.
I wish that poor young man would have never left, because they needed somebody to mentor these other guys. And you're right. That's what he did last year in the Michigan game. He threw it up there for Allen to come down, and he did. You know,
He sure did.
He was really confident in him, and I don't know why they don't throw more to Carter and Jesse James, because I listened to you on the radio, and these guys are 6'6". I mean, all you have to do is throw it up there and let these guys try to grab it. I mean, and the defense, I think, is so good is because they spend so much time out in the field. You know, you're going to get good at what you're doing if you spend that much time out on the field.
Well, I think the less time they spend out there, actually, the better they're going to be. They'll be rested. Bob, I got to go to the top of the hour, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. All right. Top of the hour news coming up next. Then into the next half hour, the segment Random Thoughts with Kevin Herr, presented by Sonic. Then John Unitas Jr. at 4:35.